LBW. Oh, he's got him. That's well run, or is it? Oh, a fielder. That's out. That's got to be out. That's beautifully done.
What a great effort. That's unbelievable. That is sensational.
Now, this will be interesting.
Short, fine legs.
Hey, welcome to Short Fine Legs, the cricket podcast that usually starts with some pithy and sarcastic opening, but not today. Not today, because we want to start off with something that is no laughing matter, and that is the mental health of cricketers around the world. Now, Nons, as you all know, that's Nono Pongolo, Lions all-rounder. I'm Daniel Gallen, North Middlesex, third team all-rounder. So of contrasting abilities, but nonetheless, we perform a similar role for our team. In fact, I opened the bowling for my team, so if anything, I've got one up on Nons. Nons, as you all no doubt have seen, Quentin de Kock has taken a mental health break from the game and will not be partaking in this upcoming domestic competition in South Africa. Moeen Ali from England has left the tour of India to go spend time with his family, a man who has had COVID and has been separated from his young kids for an extended period of time. Both players had their patriotism called into question. Both players were criticized in the press. Both players were criticized by fans who questioned where their priorities lay. Now, obviously, as these two narratives have been gone through the wash cycle, more has been revealed. But Nons, I'm curious, as a professional cricketer yourself who has been through the COVID bubble, who has spent time away from loved ones, who undergoes pressure out in the public eye, what was your first reaction when you found out these guys were going to be taking a break?
I always talk about it's really good to have this info being out in the open and all of us finding out exactly the reasons. I think in the past, I think teams used to hide it. Players used to hide it, and I think it's about time that we are honest about that. I always say that players are not robots, they're not machines. They have feelings, they have emotions. And we talk about guys who are spending so much time in modern cricket away from their families, away from home, and being, especially now in COVID, in these bubbles where you have to isolate and spend, again, periods of time without your loved ones near you. And of course, people would say, oh, these guys are paid millions of dollars and things like that. But at the end of the day, I don't think money is the main thing at the end of the day when you are stuck in a hotel without your loved ones and you have to go and play and come back and get you're stuck in a hotel. And that's the difficulty of talking about these things openly. People will always go back to the money that these players are being paid, and it's just not about that. And I'm glad that I think Quentin de Kock is being honest and he's taken the time away from the game. And it's about time that all of us start to understand that the difficulty that these players go through, and especially if you play all the formats for your country. Quentin de Kock plays all three formats for South Africa. And of course, given the captaincy as well, it's even more added pressure. And we know that beginning of the season, he spent time in the IPL, followed that with the English tour. Immediately, they've gone to Pakistan as well, played Sri Lanka, then gone to Pakistan. So he's actually been one of the South African players who's been really involved in every part of our season. And we have to understand, I do really enjoy what the English cricket have really done. I know there's been a backlash from certain parts of the world talking about players taking rest, but we have to think about COVID times and how difficult it is for these players. And it's about time we're honest. And I think for me, I honestly started to see more and more how the impact of mental, the mental side of the game has played a part in players' role when Marcus Trzaskowski and I think Michael Yardy were the players to come out and start owning how difficult it was for them to be away from their families. And since then, I think more and more cricketers have come out. And I think it's a really good thing for our game that players are owning up, and it's actually becoming a thing that all of us are aware of now in modern cricket.
We had a little chat off air.
Yeah.
But I want to try and recall what we were saying, because Let's be real now, because Quinton de Kock is in the public eye, and some fans and journalists might think that that makes him public property. But, you know, it's our job as a journalist myself, and now you on the podcast, that we talk about these guys as if we have some sort of insight, because we watch them speak and we hear what they say and we get to interview them. I don't think it's unfair to say that Quinton de Kock isn't the most cerebral guy in the world. He's a genius cricketer, and his ability to play cricket surpasses any ability I have in any field in my life. And I think if to misquote Einstein, as often be the case, if we judged all animals by their ability to climb a tree, fish would think that they were incapable of anything. You know, Quinton de Kock might not be able to climb a tree, but he can swim in water better than anyone else can, right?
Yeah.
So let's that aside, on that base intelligence level, he isn't the most cerebral guy. Faf du Plessis, who we will talk about later, who's just retired from Test cricket, is perhaps the most cerebral cricketer I've ever met. He himself has struggled with public criticism and public scrutiny that the limelight brings.
Yeah.
Quinton de Kock has been out of form with the bat. His team has been struggling. He's overseeing a side in transition, and he's been given a job that he said he didn't want, that the guys who gave him the job said that they didn't want to give him. Of course he's going to feel pressure. Now, of course he needs a break. Nonce, what's it like? And we'll talk about who is culpable in this, because I was debating whether we're going to name or shame them. And you know what? I think we will, because because if these people have the right to single out Quinton de Kock by name, then I think we have the right to single them out. And I'm talking about two senior journalists in South African cricket who will be named and shamed. I hope they're still listening to this. Nonce, you were a commentator, and then you were drafted into the Mzansi Super League. And before you single-handedly won several games on your own, there were people who were like, what's this guy doing in this side? How desperate are the Jersey Stars to bring a commentator into the team? You yourself know what it's like to be made to feel like a public property, as if you're in some sort of, in the middle of a tug of war where you got detractors and supporters on either side. What does that feel like?
It's the worst. I have to be honest. It's the worst experience one could go through. But I think on the way, I've learned from teammates, their experiences and what you should and shouldn't be doing. And for example, Atemba taught me that during a game, switch your social media off, because that could play a huge role in changing where you are in terms of the space that you're in and trying to win a game for your team. So it's important for me to actually switch that off and not be part of that world. And I think our last podcast, we also spoke about the importance of the management team to remind guys how good they are and the role that they play in keeping players like Quinton de Kock confident and feeling positive about what they're doing, even though they are experiencing failures. And it's also upon yourself as a player to obviously be strong in those moments, remember how good you are, and of course limit the amount of social media, because I think a lot of us, when we're doing well, we love social media and we're all there, we're receiving the praise and you want to see everyone giving you that praise. But you also know that there's also the other side of it when things are not going well. So you try to be in terms of, if you're going to commit yourself to that, it's important that you know that when you're in receiving end, I mean, you also don't take it to heart as well. So it's about moderating yourself. I think that's one. But of course, a lot of people have a lot of opinions, and I think that's where your teammates come into play, your little family around you, the people that support you play a massive role. And I think what we should remember, Quinton de Kock is a guy that loves the wildlife. He loves fishing. This is how he switches off. And it's important that, I mean, he goes into the wild and enjoys himself and switches off from the game. He hasn't been given that period of being himself in this period, because, I mean, he's played a lot of cricket and, of course, he gets paid to do it. But it's not just about the money. It's about the player being in the right frame of mind to continue doing his job. And I think it's important that he gets some time away and he receives all the support that he needs. I think we used to be so macho about it in the past that you need to be strong and fight through all these periods. But mental health is no longer about that. You know, it's about a player knowing that understand that you're not in a good space. You need to find a way to get away from the game, recharge, and come back stronger. And if it takes some time away from the game, so be it. And I love that the English have really supported their players. I think it's a definite template for all cricket nations to give to their players. And I think it's so important that we also have a South African now. And I think this kind of shows, or it's giving us the path of what should be done when a player is not feeling well in terms of his mental side of the game.
We've spoken about the role that Saka have played in this. And so to give Cricket South Africa and Saka and the different unions their credit, I think that from what I can gather, you'll obviously know more than me, the powers that be internally are taking this a serious matter. But I want to address the role that journalists play. Before we get to the role fans play, and obviously, you know, fans come in all shapes and sizes and social media tends to amplify those voices most critical. But I really want to call out the role that journalists play in all this. Now, two of South Africa's most senior cricket journalists, Fidois Moonda, who's Crick Info's correspondent, South Africa correspondent, and Colin Bryden, a doyen of South African cricket journalism, who's commentated for the SABC, among others. He heads up the South African Cricket's Almanac. They were quite frankly appalling. I think there's no other word for it. I think it is shameful the way they both behaved on Twitter. There may have been others, but these are the two most high-profile ones. Fidois Moonda essentially said that Quinton de Kock is, quote, earning a salary to rest, despite the fact that he is nationally contracted. And then she said, clarification, de Kock is not being rested, but opted out of the tournament. Colin Bryden then said, is he taking unpaid leave? And will he, quote, opt out of the IPL? Fidois Moonda said that she'd asked these questions, blah, blah, blah. Colin Bryden rang his fist at the clouds, like old Abe Simpson, and said it's definitely not a good look. SA Cricket Public has not had much to enjoy this season, so one would expect there to be an obligation to provide the best possible quality in what is left of it. Then, when it turned out that Quinton de Kock was resting, not because he opted out, but because he needed this very important mental health break, then they both clambered over themselves to say how important mental health is and how important we need to take it seriously. Now, quite frankly, if they need to not only write a public apology to Quinton de Kock and Cricket South Africa, but I think as people who consume their work and to all the people that follow them on Twitter, I mean, Colin Bryden is not followed by many, but Fidois Moonda is followed by 38,400 people. They owe an apology. It is not acceptable. Because if these two journalists were wading in with this sort of glib attitude about race or gender or someone's sexuality, well, that might be grounds for firing. Now, why should someone's mental health be seen as this social football that we can kick about just because they are good enough to play cricket, which then puts them in the public space? Now, Nons, as a player, well, what was your reaction to this? Seeing two senior journalists treat one of your own in such a degrading manner?
I have to be honest. Initially, I mean, when I saw what was being said, I mean, I just read it and I did not engage at all because I did not fully understand of the reason why Quinton de Kock was. So I did not participate in those tweets or that conversation that people were having. But it's come out now that the reason why Quinton, and I think that's actually been the reason why players, for example, are very almost defensive, or not defensive, but not engaging with the media, because it's what you say and what they will write is not always how you feel or exactly where you are and currently in your place. And I feel that that's been the issue, especially with South African cricketers. And you feel that there's a lot of negativity that comes from the media. And I think it's about time. I'm really grateful that as a journalist, you've definitely pointed it out, and you are having a go at them rather to so that it's clear for everyone to know that we need to have perspective on all the sides of the story before we can fully go hard at the players. And that, for me, I think kind of sums up where most players in South African cricket are. And that's why, for example, players will always give you your generic type of interviews, because they've always been careful. And if you want to create an environment where players can be honest and tell you exactly how they feel or what state of mind they're in. We need journalism where players are free to actually say, listen, I'm not in a good space. This is how I feel. Can this either be kept on the down low, or I'm willing to open up and the public know about it? And I think that's the environment that we need. And I'm glad that, honestly, he's come out and opened up. So it makes it easier for other players as well. Because I think sometimes when you see your international players come out, it does make it easier for the guys below to actually open up and say, listen, I've been having this issue as well. And it's time that I also own it and actually come out and actually say that it's been a problem that I've been having. So it's important that international players, of course, we don't wish this on anyone, but it's important that you get to see as well those guys owning it, and so that it can be easier for the rest of the guys in the lower parts of the South African cricket.
And never mind that there's a duty of care that all stakeholders, fans, journalists, I won't single out the people that actually have any sort of say in cricket in South Africa, the players and the players union and the teams, because they're on top of it. But the fans and journalists have a duty of care. But over and above that, journalists have a duty of care to accurate reporting. Yeah. So if they're wringing their fists and claiming that Quinton de Kock is taking a rest and getting a salary because he just doesn't feel like it, and then insinuating that, well, he won't do the same for the IPL, well, that's just irresponsible journalism. We've seen how Jacques Pau, I think I pronounced his name correctly, in the Daily Maverick, who threw a tantrum on their website about his wrongful arrest at the waterfront in Cape Town. He's completely besmirched his reputation as a journalist and undone all the good work that he has previously done. So if nothing else, Vados Munda had a dereliction of duty as a journalist, not just as a decent human being, but as a journalist. But you know what? I hope that this wake-up call does shake people in South Africa into realizing that the days of the macho man are over. Thank goodness for that. Because how many men still kill themselves? You know, suicide is an appalling statistic. Depression is through the roof, especially now during COVID times. There is no shame in speaking out about your mental health and taking the break that you need. So I, for one, applaud Quinton de Kock, and I wish him a speedy recovery, as I would wish someone a speedy recovery if they had broken a leg, you know?
Yes.
It maybe we should see it as the same thing. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, do we see it as the same thing? Is that glib, or is one more important than the other? Or, you know, because we're happy to say, oh, well, of course the guy can't play. His leg's broken.
I think it's time that we normalize all these matters that's the same. Yeah, we need to know. That's why I feel it's important that we see someone as big as Quinton de Kock actually accepting where he is in with his mental side of the game. And the more the public gets aware and understanding of that, you know, mental health is as important, or as guy when you're getting an injury or whatever, it's as important. And the sooner that everyone comes around with it, that's why I said England have actually are steps ahead of everyone else, because we've seen for Marcus Trusotic, I think early 2000 to about 2010. So they've got a 10-year head start compared to everyone else in the world, and they've accepted and they've normalized it. I mean, you've seen Moeen Ali only playing his first test in 18 months. But because he's been involved in the IPL and everything, he said, listen, I've got a young family. I've been around. This is more than what I need to do. I need to go back home. And they've accepted that, and then they've actually allowed him the time to go back home and be with his family. So I think that's environment that all teams need to come to. And I feel that as South Africans as well, not a lot of teams have psychologists and people our mental trainers or some mental health professionals in their environments or in their teams. And I feel that's also something that it's important. We've had a tag for many, many years of choking in World Cups. But I think since Jeremy Snape, when he was involved with the South African team, we haven't had someone I might be wrong. I don't know what currently is the management set up in the Proteas. I don't think we've had someone dedicated to that particular matter in the team. And I think that as well is a wake-up call to take this seriously and also give the players the space. If they do want to talk to someone in a tour in Pakistan, they can do that. And it's not just being dismissed as being soft. I think the South Africans will use that word a lot, where a player is struggling and we're not understanding what it is, and we call him soft. And I think it's about time that all teams have this professional or experts dealing with the mental side of the game.
No, well said, Nonce, well said. Faf du Plessis announced his retirement from Test cricket. It seemed that the cancelled three-match series against Australia would have been his send-off, which really would have been fitting, seeing as he really made his name in Test cricket against Australia. He became the first captain to win a series at home against the Aussies. He made his debut where he batted for about 12 days in Adelaide. He obviously scored that ton in the day-night match. He scored 100 in South Africa's disastrous World Cup in 2019 against the Aussies. He really was a guy who stood up to the Aussies. Mint Gate.
Zip Gate.
yeah. There you go. What is Faf du Plessis' legacy in whites? Will he be remembered as a great South African cricketer?
I think he'll definitely be remembered as a really good captain as well. On top of that, I think if you had to ask around in terms of his legacy as a captain, a lot of players were impressed how he's managed the side through a difficult period in South African cricket, losing all our greats, having been the last one of the remaining guys in terms of the team that actually went around the world and dominated a lot of teams in Test cricket. And I think he'd done a fantastic job as captain, and it's never easy to be captain of South Africa. And his tactical side and managing of the team, especially the players coming through, etc., I think was phenomenal. And in terms of him as a player, I think one thing that we'll always see as Faf du Plessis, I think we always remember a fighter. He came in early doors. I think he used to bat at 7 at the time. Scored that unbelievable 100 in Australia, and also seeing out a test match and South Africa drawing that test match. I'm not quite sure the ground at the time. And for me, when we said about that, when we started talking about the summer in terms of the importance of his experience and the wealth that he will provide for the younger players coming through, we spoke about him being an important part of the South African team going forward this season. And I think it's going to be a huge loss in South African cricket. And of course, he's speaking about stepping out on the test side. I think we're still going to need his experience. Played in the IPL for many years for the Chennai Super Kings. I think his experience in the World Cup coming up later in the year, I think, is going to be an important one. So, yes, we're losing him as a test cricketer, but I think the fact that he's still sticking around as a white ball player for South Africa, I think it's still very good sign. And it is now, we've lost that previous generation of players. I think Dean Argyle probably the last remaining one from that phenomenal side that we had from 2007 to what 2015. I think that dominated world cricket. So huge loss in South African cricket, but I think we need to give him credit for the last couple of years being the captain of South Africa. I thought for me, he really stood out. His leadership skills definitely stood out for me and what he did for South Africa.
What about as a batsman? Like I said, he started with that debut ton in Australia. And then I think he saved the test match the following match, where he ground Peter Siddle's knees into dust, essentially, which allowed South Africa to go and win the series 1-0. He retires with a test batting average of 40, almost on the nose, 40.02. Of the guys who have played 50 or more matches, there's quite a list of people above him with better averages. Prince, Gibbs, Cullinan, Kirsten, Umler, Smith, De Villiers, Cullis. Dean Elgar's got a batting average of 39. You might imagine that Dean Elgar could make things work and probably finish with a higher average than 40. So, specifically as a player, did Faf du Plessis live up to his potential? Did he get the most out of the talent that he had?
I mean, if you think about when he started, I mean, he came in at 7, I think, at the time for South Africa. And that was because we had a Jacques Callis batting at 4. We could it allowed us to either play an extra bowler or an extra batter. And let's be honest, in South Africa's history, I think that was probably our peak, dominance in world cricket, because we could have, I mean, number 7 could be an out-and-out batter. And for me, how he started his international cricket, I thought was unbelievable. And what I like about Fafitsi, he was always dynamic. If you need someone to block it out, he could do it. If you need someone to be positive, he could take it on to the opposition. And that's why I think maybe the white ball side stands out more than anything. Because when he started his test career, he always had A.B. de Villiers, Hashim Amla, Jacques Callis being the main stalwart of the team. So he never really needed to stand up in a way and be the main guy. And I think in recent years, he needed to be the main man and stand up a lot more with his bat, because the South African team almost relied on him heavily as the experienced player, of course, as also being the captain. And I think, you know, he was asked to come up the order. I mean, he was very comfortable with batting at 5, and he stood up and moved up the order to kind of show the experience and be the main man of the South African batting lineup. And I think in Test cricket, because, I mean, he's only played 69 matches, and he did say that in his wildest dream, he never thought he would play as many Tests as he did for South Africa, and he was so grateful of the opportunity that to play, represent South Africa in Test cricket. But for me, definitely his white ball skills have stood out more than his Test abilities. And we've seen him win so many IPLs, and it shows his class and being an important and integral part of the Chennai Super Kings. And that's the reason for me why I remember the white ball side of things a lot more, because he has dominated, scored a lot of hundreds, batting at 3 in both formats. And he's been a phenomenal player for South Africa, and I think we are definitely going to miss his experience going forward in the Test side as well.
And of course, he hasn't retired from the white ball arena, as he said in his retirement speech. Lovely. Whoever wrote that for him, if he wrote it himself, I thought it was really nice. There's a bit of flavor kind of sprinkled in the rhetoric there, which I quite liked. Two important T20 World Cups coming up, so of course he will play an important role in that. And we wish him all the best. As we said, a really switched on guy. I think he brought a lot of soft skills to the Test team. He was almost the midwife for South African cricket, transitioning from the big burly Biff days to this more softer side today. It'll be interesting to see how they carry on now that there isn't a ready-made replacement. I mean, when Graham Smith stepped down, there was de Villiers, Amla and du Plessis, who were all qualified to take the role. It will be interesting to see who assumes that mantle in the Test arena. Quinton was clearly out of his depth, I think is a polite way of putting it, and has probably contributed to some of the aforementioned problems. But let's move on now and wrap up the show with a look at this upcoming domestic competition in South Africa. Please remind me what it's called.
CSA T20 Challenge. No sponsors.
No sponsors. Well,
that's what happened.
Yeah. Well, good luck to them. I hope they find one at some point. Let's look at the teams. I mean, your boys, the Lions. I would back... you're laughing because I would back that team to come 5th, maybe even make the semi-finals of a World Cup. That is an international team. Just for those who don't know, we won't run through all the teams, but I think the Lions are just worth singling out. Themba Bavuma captains, Reeza Hendricks, Dwayne Pretorius, Delano Potgieter, Bjorn Hendricks, Vion Mulder, Luto Sepamla, Bjorn Fortein, Ryan Rickleton, Sisanda Magala, Malusi Saboto, Aldred Hawken, Kagiso Rabada, Rassie van der Dissen, Aaron Pangiso, and Ruan Harnbroek, who I'm not so sure who he is, but Nons tells me he's a very handy wicketkeeper batsman. Nons, I mean, there's no space for you. It must be a pretty handy side.
Yeah, that was... as soon as Boucher made it clear that all the boys are coming back, I think a lot of us were panicking in terms of making that 16. I honestly was, I found it a really difficult one to get through because, I mean, it's T20s and the Whitepool side of the game. It's a tournament that I've had a lot of successes in the recent past and I've enjoyed. But again, when you say so many Proteas are coming back, at the same time, you could understand the reason why you didn't make the side. But it's a phenomenal side. I think there's pressure on them at the same time because with a squad like that, you almost have to bring it home. And I think there's a bit of it. As Lions, I think we've accepted the expectations and we also know that how to win trophies. I think because we've done it in the recent past, it's become something that we've accepted and understood and how to win games. And again, it's under the leadership of Temba Bavuma, who the last time the CSA T20 Challenge was played, he actually scored 100 and he was the captain of that side as well. So it almost like started his run into the T20 side, international Protea side, and I think he'll be looking forward to this tournament again. And it's a phenomenal side. I think all bases are covered. And I think there's a couple of names besides your normal internationals that I think a lot of people will be interested in. Sisanda Magala, I think everyone has been hearing a lot of good things about. One of the best T20 players, 50-over players around. He bowls 140Ks. Plus, you can bowl really good Yorkers and really good slow balls as well in the middle. You've got Adilana Pochita that I spoke about, who was a hard hitter, similar to an Albie Morkel, those who don't know. But I think to an Albie Morkel, he's got a game that he could knock it around. He's an out-and-out batter and a really good bowler as well. And then, of course, there's your Malusi Subotos, around, I think his seasoned companions have done really well, and your Aldred Hawken, who I think as well could really step up and make it probably sneak his way into that World Cup side. So, yeah, there's a lot of options. Then I would hate to be the coach picking the side, especially for that first game. I think there's going to be 5 disappointed players, or at least 4, because I say Ruan Hansbrook is a wicketkeeper batter. He's definitely going to be more of a backup to a Rickleton. So he's also a really good talent. So yeah, it's. I'm really looking forward to the selection of the side, and I hope that rain will stay away in Durban, and we'll really see some really good cricket in the next 18 days.
Well, cricket in Durban tends to mean rain, but let's assume that all games go ahead. You've mentioned how Temba Bavuma really established himself as a T20 cricketer in the eyes of the national selectors through his performances in this corresponding tournament last year. And now I think it's fair to say that Temba is probably has secured himself a ticket to the next World Cup based on those performances, at least in my view. I look at around the other teams, you know, a guy like Keshav Maharaj, who's captaining the Dolphins, he's not necessarily someone who's secure of his place. I mean, I don't think he's actually in the T20. He's got Heinrich Klaassen, who's captaining the Titans. He's there and thereabouts, but you imagine that with a full-strength side, maybe he doesn't make the squad. Aidan Markram, also someone on the periphery. You got someone like Pyke van Biljoen. There are who captains the Knights. There are a few players who, if they have a really good tournament, the selectors have set the precedent that if you do well, hey, bud, we'll take you with us. Who are some of the players smattered throughout the rest of the tournament that, in other teams apart from the Lions, that you think, well, you'd like to see them do well, but also that you expect that if they do well, they might secure a place into the World Cup squad?
I think the last time we actually chatted about the T20 side of the game, I think we spoke about, I think now with Quinton de Kock, who definitely is the captain. We're talking about who's also going to open the batting with Quinton. And I said there's a lot of openers in South African cricket. You had Yuriza, we had Yanaman Malan, and we've got as well from the Dolphins, we've got Sarel Ervia, who's been part of the Test side, who would be looking to have a really good tournament and put his name in the hat. And I feel that's probably the healthiest position South Africa has right now in terms of the openers. I think there's going to be a fantastic competition for places in that position. One slot, to be honest, because everyone is competing, is looking to partner up with Quinton de Kock. And I think if Temba continues to have a really good run in T20 cricket, I think that will be locked down as our number three. And then you've got your Faf du Plessis at four. And I do feel, David Miller had a fantastic last game in Pakistan. And I think that's the type of form that all South African fans would be hoping that will continue for David Miller. David Miller at five, I think he's an exceptional player, can take the game to the opposition and definitely can finish. So it's important that he continues his run of form. But I do feel that Clarkson definitely put his name up in terms of his leadership's credibility in that Pakistan tour. And, of course, what he can provide as well with the bat. So I hope that he also have a good tournament because I think we'll need healthy competition at five. And I think I've mentioned Delano Progeta. I do feel he's probably one of the best finishers that we have currently in South Africa. I also like the look of Jonker coming back into cricket. He also had mental issues in recent past, and he was away from the game, and he's come back this season representing the Cobras. So I would love to see him dominate, really have a really good tournament for the Cobras, batting at six. If we can have him firing, I think he's one of the cleaner sectors of a cricket ball in South Africa outside of David Miller and Delano Progeta. So I hope that he'll also. And of course, we can never write off a DNS. I think if he can have a really good tournament, he'll also provide healthy competition as well for Temba at three. So yeah, I think in terms of the top six, for me, I think there's a lot of options that South African selectors will be looking at. And I do hope, that the rain does go away. And, of course, the reintroduction of Morris for the Titans, so I think, will be an interesting one to follow to add to the all-rounders that we have as well. So, yeah, there'll be a couple of key players. I think a lot of people will be keeping an eye on and will hope that they'll have a really good tournament.
You know what? I feel somewhat positive about South Africa's T20 cricket. You know, obviously the test team is going through a lot, and I asked Faf du Plessis once what makes a good test team, and he just said it's very simple, it's experience. And then I said, okay, well, isn't that the same for all cricket teams? He said, no, in T20 cricket, you could win a World Cup with guys who have played no international cricket. If they are confident, if there's competition for places, if you've got a strong domestic setup, you could basically take rookies and have a chance of winning T20 cricket. Of course, there's also the factor that the smaller format brings teams closer together, that if you stretch a game longer, the better team will more likely win. You don't really, that's why upsets in test cricket are celebrated with such fanfare.
Yeah.
But from you rattling off those names, I'm really excited for South African T20 cricket. I mean, it's a shame. It's almost like, you know, this is what the West Indies feels like now. Their test team is bang average, and they make do with having a really strong T20 cricket setup. Maybe South Africa's heading there. That is our path. I mean, it's a sad situation that we're outside of the big three, as it were. But you know what? T20 cricket, hey, if they bring home a World Cup in a couple of months' time, I don't think anyone will care where they finish on the World Test Championship. So lots to look forward to. Really positive. Nons, before we wrap up, it looks like you want to have the final say on something.
No, listen, I said... What I'm looking forward to is, I think for the first time in a really long time, we've had our internationals being part of it. I think it's been a massive loss not to have the MSL. And I think the reason why you mentioned the West Indies are really good at T20 competition and 50 over cricket is because they have all the international players playing in all these competitions. And if South African players can't get themselves into these tournaments, it's important that we have a really good domestic tournament. And I think for the first time, the franchise T20 instead of the Mzansi Super League actually has the internationals. And this is the type of experience I think would certainly help all the domestic players to step it up and understand where they are. And if your domestic players have a fantastic tournament, now with all the proteas around, we can take that these guys are ready to step it up to more. And it's the type of experience I think the IPL has provided to, you know, to the local players, because they're playing against these world-class players in their own domestic, you know, tournament. It allowed them to upskill themselves and be ready for the pressures that come from the international, you know, international game. So for me, I'm really looking forward to that. I think it's going to be an exciting time. I hope that all our fans are excited by the tournament. And I think I think there's going to be some really close games. I don't think, as much as the Lions are a very strong Protea side, but I do feel that the games will be very tight. The conditions in Durban usually favour, you know, the spinners, and becomes difficult. Your power play becomes an important part to dominate and take on to the opposition. So you're not playing at the Wanderers where you can just come in and just, you know, smash the bowlers. You have to have your game plans in set, and you know when to attack and when to kind of knock it around. And yeah, it's going to be really an exciting tournament in Durban. Yeah.
Well, Nons, as always, thanks for bringing us the insight from inside the camp, especially at the top of the show, where we waded through something that I think we all need to reflect on. You know, we can talk about a rookie South African batter equipped to face leg spin bowling in Pakistan. Is this player getting a chance ahead of that player? Should this guy be there instead of that guy? But ultimately, this is a game, and the mental well-being of all of us on this planet, whether we are good at cricket or not, should be absolute paramount. And I think that this week has given us a lot to think about. So, Nons, thanks for your inputs. NZ10.
I know, NZP10, yeah.
NZP10 on Twitter. I'm at Daniel Gallen. We're short_fine_legs. Lots of love to PSC Podcasts, who produce the show. We'll catch you next time.
Shout for LBW. Oh, he's got him. That's well run. Or is it? Oh, a fielder. That's out. That's got to be out. That's beautifully done.
What a great hit. That's unbelievable. That is sensational. Now, this will be interesting.
Short, fine legs. Thank you.